Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday. It's November 5th, 2014. Tick, 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 tick. The clock is ticking. I know my alarm is set at 4 a.m. to go
That was
up.
Really a horrible sound effect.
not too good.
I was wondering what you were doing. I was like, what's he doing?
I'm on overload trying to get everything readied and prepared. We'll be leaving for Israel soon and pretty excited about this
trip.
You need
to start drinking coffee.
Well, you know what? That's what I was going to say. What's up? You're listening to hymns on the way over because you were talking about, Lord, I need you. And is that Coca-Cola or something? That's not coffee in that plastic cup, is it?
No, I've traversed from coffee to Coke.
I was like, what's he got there? That's not his typical
coffee. Holy Spirit in here.
So it's Wednesday. It's the 5th. Election day has come and gone. Everyone's probably worn out watching returns all night long. And God's in control, as he always is, and we give thanks for him. And I missed this yesterday. I got this email, I guess, 2 days ago, but officially yesterday, I want to say a special happy anniversary to Don and Vera. And they live in our Great News Radio listening area. And they wrote me this email. Basically, they say, hi again, Mark. Another year, another wedding anniversary. It seems to be picking up speed with each passing year. Where did it go? Again, Vera and I want to celebrate this November 4th by renewing our annual pledge in support of the wonderful ministry of Great News Radio. And then they go on to say a number of neat things, but they say, as I mentioned before, we try to ensure that the majority of our total annual discretionary giving goes to kingdom-building purposes. We consider your radio mission to educate, edify, and evangelize listeners throughout Central Illinois, East Central Indiana, and beyond via the Internet is one of the most cost-effective ways of having a positive impact on many thousands. It continues to be true joy to share in a little part of that great mission. Goes on to say a number of wonderful things. They're now retired and on a fixed income, and I know that's true of many of our listeners, and they say we find a less disposable income, but at times we were a little uncertain as how this might impact our giving ability. God continues to bless and provide in spite of those necessary adjustments. We are able to continue in that giving. And then they go on to say, we praise God for how Great News Radio continues to be 100% listener-supported and does not need to engage in periodic fundraising campaigns. As in previous years, we'd like to take this, our special anniversary occasion, to encourage more radio listeners to prayerfully consider giving to Great News Radio on a regular basis. While giving to the Lord seems more meaningful when it involves some degree of sacrifice, over the past several years, we found giving monthly via automatic electronic fund transfers through our bank is one of the easiest ways of giving regularly. It's another way of giving to the Lord first, spreading the gift out over 12 months, which enables giving even more than if we made it in one or two lump sum donations. Often those what's left over moments have a way of being put off and never happening. A few dollars right off the top of each month's income, even meager retirement income, doesn't hurt that much, but can really add up over the year, making a lot from a little. It doesn't get put off or overlooked either. Again, we would urge other listeners to seriously considering this mode of regular giving to the radio ministry. And then they go on to close. Again, thank you for all you do and the opportunity to share in the joy of serving the Lord by spreading the great news through your radio ministry, continuing with you as servants in Christ, Don and Vera. So just appreciate those two and the concept of giving each and every month. And for many ministries, this month of November into December, probably about 75% of all the income for their year budget comes in the final 2 months of the year. So this is a great time for you to consider maybe being a part of our giving family and help us continue to proclaim the good news message of Jesus 24 hours a day. So if you'd like to give a donation, and it will be tax deductible, address your envelope to Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. And hopefully I accomplished what Don and Vera wanted. They wanted me to kind of recognize that they give in a unique way, and others should consider that too. So thanks for the reminder, and happy anniversary, guys. I'm trying to stay on course. There's, you know, I've been listening to Haggai day and night.
Do you have a course?
You've been doing great. The Haggai lessons. I'm excited to share those with our listeners next week. I think they're in for a real blessing, and the life lessons that you can learn through Haggai about not being apathetic or complacent or indifferent and being sensitive to the Lord's leading. And you put together 6 messages. It'll be all of next week, and then the following Monday, which will be like the 17th. We'll just be returning from our trip to Israel. But I've been listening a lot on your preaching on Haggai, and I think our listeners are in for a real blessing all next week.
Good.
So, hey, I am glad.
I'm excited, too.
I've heard your voice ringing in my head day and night for the last
That's what my wife, I said, it feels like. I've done more writing in the last 3 weeks than I've done. It just feels like it. I don't think it's true, but it just seems like I have, because I've had so many points where I'm just pushing in, whether it's the booklet that we're going to take to the Israel trip, the teachings for the Israel trip, whether it's the peripheral information for the Israel trip, or the sermons that we're doing at the church, putting together our Thanksgiving thankfulness, 30 Days of Thankfulness booklet that people are going through now, this devotional booklet. So it's kind of interesting because I was putting together the Israel booklet and at the same time putting together this other booklet, which walks people through a daily guide on how to be thankful and little kind of application steps every day, hopefully to arrive at Thanksgiving and Christmas, the beginning of December, in a different way. You know, arrive at November 30th, maybe a little more thankful, a little different understanding. I really came to me when I was doing some journaling, and I really feel like the Lord kind of said, although it could, you know, it's me, who knows, that Thanksgiving isn't a holiday. Thanksgiving is a response to God's grace. Mm-hmm. And that we need to respond to the grace that's been apportioned to us in that God's given to us in such a way that it drives us to give thanks. The greatest gift we can share is our presence with people, because it's not just us who's present with them, but us with Jesus, us powered and fueled by the Holy Spirit, us able to love in a way that the world doesn't understand love, us to be able to give and forgive in a way that people don't. So the greatest gift you can give comes out of your thanksgiving, comes out of how you interact with the Lord. And so that's better than any gift you can buy people. So my hope is that people will arrive a little bit differently into December, because December, we stuff ourselves full of turkey. We wake up way too early on the Friday after Thanksgiving. And then from there, for many people, it's just a sprint to try and get to Christmas. And I just don't think we're well-grounded for the coming of Jesus. I think we're not well-grounded for the expectancy of the Savior. And just as in the Old Testament, you know, God lined out the feasts and the festivals for the Jews that they might remember key points in the year. Whatever you want to say about Christmas, or whatever you want to say about the dating of it and where it falls and all that, it should mark for us every year a particular time where we can stop and set aside and say, Jesus has come. I mean, and for me at least, maybe this year is going to be different for us. And every year, we're not big Christmas gift-giving people, and we don't buy into a lot of kind of the cultural trajectory of where they want to take the holiday. But I more so this year, I even told my wife the other day, I just want us to really feel the weight of Christmas. I mean, I really want us to just spend some time going, my gosh, are we in the manger? Are we seeing Jesus for the first time? Are we those, you know, those shepherds who saw a star and they go like, wait a second, is this Micah? Is this what we've read in Micah? Is this what we see might be happening? You know, and I mean, just really coming to that moment at Christmas time, more thankful than ever because we have Jesus. And as the world kind of winds in the wrong direction, or at least we would feel like it is, I think that it's just doing what it's always done. We're just seeing it, and it's lining up with some things biblically. So I don't really know where we're at. I don't want to comment on where we're at and all that stuff. But I really think that as we see that, and as many of us kind of go like, oh, my gosh, it should drive us more into a place where we're like, Jesus, Jesus, we need Jesus.
Yeah, I think, you know, the reason for the season, I don't think we're cognizant of what's really going on during the Christmas season, because we're so hurried and busied and overtaxed and schedules is packed and we're racing to and fro and Black Friday and getting gifts and all that, and we lose the whole sense of what the season's all about. But I was thinking about your booklet, your Thanksgiving booklet. Do you have something written for the 5th of November? Is there a special?
Yes.
Open up that book.
It's every day.
I know you have the book opened up over there. You're looking for a verse, but what do we have for the 5th of November? And are some of these available still at
your
church?
Sure, if anybody wanted to come. Now, they're actually, if you're my friend on Facebook, or you want to become my friend on Facebook, from there, every day, we screenshotted each page. So you're able to see the pages there. You can come to the community, Evangelical Free Church of Muhammad. We have booklets there that you can pick up and take so that you can be able to go through it, because it has places where you can write. And so there's application points. This is the biggest, I told the congregation on Sunday morning, I said, this is the biggest affirmation I got. It's my wife went through and edited it because my grammar stinks.
Yeah.
So she went through and made sure there were periods and punctuation marks where they need to be. But then she, at the end, she kind of slid my laptop away and she goes, I would totally do this. And I'm like, whoa, wait, you would do this? Yeah. She's like, yeah, it's really easy. It's kind of fun. It seems to me like you pulled back and you made it real simple so that we could. She goes, because I know how you are. You want to be theological. You want to be all these. She goes, it seems like you just really pulled back and you made it so that everybody, they wouldn't feel overwhelmed.
It's kind of fun to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I made it.
How much doctor do you have in there then?
we have a lot of time put into this. This thing here from front to back probably took, I don't know, 20 hours or something. Okay, so November 5th, the graphic, so we have a little picture on every page, which gives you, it's kind of a fun way to ask you a question or to make a statement about your Thanksgiving. But it says, I must ask you, and so it has a mustache.
Oh,
see, I must ask you,
like...
what are you thankful for? And so then it says, if someone asked you what you were most thankful for, what would you say? Please write it here. And there's a blank line. So what are you most thankful for? Somebody was to survey you and say, what is it that you're thankful for? What would you tell them? Now think about how God made that thing possible in your life. And then write down some ways that you saw that he was involved in. So if you're thankful for your kids, how was God involved in that? And really the idea for just, and that's the page. That's it. That's November 5th. The idea is simply, what is it that you really hone in on? You know, for me, I'm thankful for my wife and I'm thankful for my kids. And so I started to write down some things like, you know, what was it that, how God was involved in that? I mean, and when I really began to think about that, there were some things that I almost thought, wow, this is kind of supernatural how some of these things happened.
Well, even that, you've shared this testimony on the air, where God brought you to that breaking point. You're in the back room on the concrete floor, and yeah. Who calls you? Tasha.
Right.
And it was like a point of God's in this.
Yeah. And so the idea for November 5th is really, what are you thankful for? And then how do you see God in it? Because sometimes I think that we're thankful for a lot of things, but we miss kind of including in it how God made it possible. And look, at I believe that God is, look, it says in the Bible that he counts the hairs on our heads. But then in other parts of the Bible, it tells us that he orchestrates the movement of the planets and the sun and the moon and the stars by his sovereignty, his authority. Psalm 8, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the heavens and earth. And so I think that the Lord is as involved in the minutia of your life as he is in the grandness of the entire universe. And so some of the things that we would deem, well, that's kind of small. You know, I know some people like to pick and they go, well, he's not the God of good parking spaces. You know, I believe that's probably true. But I also think that, you know what, he knows maybe you're tired. He knows maybe you've had a rough day. And he knows what a bit of manna it will be if you're just going down the lane and you go, oh, my gosh, a spot right by the door. You know, and so the same as he's moving, you know, Venus around in the cosmos and all that kind of stuff. So I think God cares about all those things. And all those things that he cares about are what, you know, Jeremiah tells us of, plans to prosper you and plans to grow you. Romans 8 tells us according to his purposes. You know, what are his purposes for you? So I really just wanted people to begin to look and say, what am I really thankful for and how is God been involved in that? And for some people, I already had one person tell me today, they said, you know what, I there was a couple things and I never really ascribed to how God was involved in those things. And to really have to think about it really made me go, wow, thank you, God. Thank you for making that possible. And so I go, well, mission accomplished.
And part of this was even to get them not only calibrated for Thanksgiving in that message, but to get them kind of grounded for December.
Yeah, when you get the messages work in the booklet work a certain way, and so it takes us, you know, November 29th and then into November 30th. And I'll play my hand, okay? I'll play my hand. I'll skip to the end of the book, but I don't think it'll kill you. But November 30th's core central kind of messages, worrying about holidays keeps us from living holy days.
Hmm.
And so
say that again.
Worrying about holidays keeps us from living holy days.
This is, you're going to want to take this to your office with you. You're going to want to dwell on this concept today.
I just gave like 10 guys sermon their sermon outline, you know, for the But really, just
wait. Really, one more time, a little slower, because I think it's really key.
Worrying about holidays keeps us from living for holy days. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, just, you know, we're called. What does God say to the people in the Old Testament? He says, "Be holy because I am holy." And he's calling us to holiness. He's calling us to goodness. And that's the reason he sent his son, Jesus Christ, because we couldn't do it on our own. We weren't awesome, but he is awesome. And so he brought his son into the world to care for all the things that we couldn't handle. And then in his son, we would be able to live a life differently. We'd be able to live a life, he would call it, within our inheritance. But for many of us, it would seem beyond what we were even capable of. And so in that, we can, through Christ, live for holy days. But I think that we get so wrapped up in... And I'll just make an admission. I mean, I know around Christmas time, and because I'm in the church, so, you know, Christmas Eve service, and Christmas Eve service is always kind of an addition, and you got the weekend service, and you're kind of amping up and ramping up, and you've got Christmas activities, and then you've got stuff at home and family and all that stuff. It's a busy time of the year. I mean, it can be an absolutely crazy time of the year. And you can arrive at Christmas Day and go, you know what? Did we even ground ourselves for this? I mean, did we even put the landing gear down, or did we just kind of crash land into December 25th? And I don't think that that's how God wants it to be. In fact, when I read the Bible, there's a sense of expectancy that something's happening, something's at work. I mean, there's a band of wise men who are at Herod going, we've read the prophecies, and we think something is going to be happening. And Herod's like, oh, and there's a kind of tension like, oh, well, we better kill the babies. And, you know, they're like, oh, let's leave and not tell Herod where we're going. And, you know, the shepherds are seeing the star in the sky, and Mary and Joseph, you know, I'm with child, but it wasn't you, it's the Holy Spirit. And it's just this whole movement where there's this expectancy in just a couple short chapters in Matthew and Luke that it's just building. There's this thing happening. God is at work, and God is at work. And what blew all of our minds, what blew their minds then, was that God entered into history. I mean, they didn't see that one coming, that God was going to not only enter into history, but also within history enter into poverty, not riches and majesty. He was already majestic. He didn't need any castles or any of the things that we would think earthly majesty revolves around. But there's this expectancy and tension that we should arrive at Christmas with.
You can't handle the expectancy.
You can't handle the truth. You know what? And that's funny that you would say that, but I do think, though, truly, that if we don't learn to be thankful, and I think that the world, and I'm just going to be honest, I think, and I hope I don't sound negative when I say this, but I think the world is ever increasingly becoming a thankless place. I'm shocked when I say thank you for things like, you know, you commented on my drink. When I was at McDonald's and I drove through and I got the drink and I told the girl, you know, hey, thank you so much. I mean, it's just kind of like, whoa. I mean, she kind of like did a double take, like I was weird or something. Like, oh, my God, it's the Gideons and they got cars now. You know, I mean, she thought it was strange. I mean, which makes me go, well, did the people in front of me, were they even, you know, what did they do? I mean, were they just kind of, get me my, you know, where's the fries? You know, I mean, I don't know. But I'm just wondering that, you know, I just feel like more and more we're becoming a thankless society. And the Bible tells us that we're to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. And I think that if we live in a culture of thanklessness, it will affect our giving thanks to the Lord. You know, and maybe some of us start to think, well, you know, well, if I give thanks on Sunday, then I'm doing pretty good, right? Because, you know, I fit that in. And I'm just telling you that that's not good. In fact, I said in the message, we did a message this past weekend on the persecuted church, but I made a statement at the end of the message that I think is applicable here. And I think that the real danger is that we would kind of put ourselves on a religious autopilot. You know, we think, well, you know what, I serve at the church on this day, and I attend this Bible study this day, and I go to church on Sunday morning. And we would do those things, but we would do those things in such a way that we look enough like a Christian that in the church we feel accepted and we feel encouraged, but we would also look just enough like the world that we're not a danger to it. And in doing so, we would live kind of this marginal, very safe Christian life. I mean, Jesus says in John chapter 15, if the world hated me, don't you know it'll hate you too? I mean, he's real clear that as you carry the gospel with you, as you lift up his name, that there'll be animosity and oppression that'll come from the world, because they no longer can live in sin because the Son of Righteousness has come to uncover and expose that sin. They no longer get a free pass on those things. And so us, as we come in reflecting the glory and the righteousness of Christ, we bring that same thing. That's why when you get around people who are non-Christians and they get a little they get a little prickly around you, it's not because of you. It's because of Jesus Christ. And it's because of the work that he does by his Holy Spirit now in and with them, where he confronts their sin. And they know. And so, you know, I think that all of that is rooted and welded in the fact that we need to become more thankful. We need to lift up praise to the Lord because he is good. And you know what? I think in today when we watch the news and we get all frustrated and we do all those things and you mentioned, you know, the voting and the election, and we go, you know what? No matter how the election goes, you know, and I believe that we should always vote, and I believe we should flex our voices because Romans 13 tells us to submit to authority, and God's put those people there for a particular reason. But at the end of the day, regardless of how it turns out, we should go, but his love endures forever. His love endures forever. No matter how it's going right now in this moment, his love endures forever. And that's the promise of the Bible. That's a promise of the Lord. That's the reason Jesus Christ came to manifest for us that his love endures forever and that those who are in Christ are included in that forever.
And he's sovereign, and nothing can happen outside of his permissive will, and he can work through great people in power and people that are not suited to be in power.
But read the Old Testament. There's a donkey he uses, which my wife likes to say, sometimes I'm that. You can't use the other word, right? Because you get all kinds of letters.
Yeah. We'll keep it clean. Hey, I'm pumped for, well, I guess maybe on Friday's edition of Mark and Friends when we go through the Book of Acts. I was going to have you do a little sneak preview on Haggai. But listener, you're in for a real treat all next week and then the following Monday, which would be the 17th. There will be a six-part series on the Book of Haggai. And you'll see how well it ties in all the other prophets as you were teaching it. And I was listening to it, you know, all the things that were going on, how God was working through Ezra and Zechariah and different prophets and how it all fit together, who was working on the wall, Nehemiah, and who was working on the spiritual health of the people and who was rebuilding the temple. And I think you're in for a real treat. So that'll be all week long next week, Monday through Friday, during Mark and Friends, heard at 7:32 a.m. with a 7:32 p.m. re-airing. That's Central Time, 8:32 a.m. and p.m. for our great Indiana listeners. But I'm thinking, I got to look at that. With the time change we have, are we all Central? Is Indiana still an hour different? Does that stay? I always have to think that through. But tune in all next week for Mark and Friends.
I didn't have coffee to answer that question. My gosh. What is that?
Hey, well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.